Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of Life is No Coincidence, The Life and Afterlife Connection, and my new book, The Living Spirit, to be released May 2014. Joining us today is Dr. Catherine T. Kelly, a licensed practicing psychologist and author of Soul Health, Aligning with Spirit for Radiant Living. Her previous work in medical settings, as well as her ownership of a holistic health center, led to a unique and updated view on what constitutes whole health healing, which I and many guests on this show believe is the way which evolution and the maturing of our souls, as well as the human condition, will find multidimensional healing. Hello, Catherine.
Hi, so glad to be here.
And I'm glad to have you here too. Catherine, you know, as listeners of Healing From Within are aware, each show and guest from all walks of life, business, the arts, the medical professions, and metaphysical sciences, all attest to one truth. We are more than our physical life or body, and to create or manifest what is our best interest, or in our best interest, we must address the needs of our inner being or soul. Since our experience on Earth should be more than just surviving the challenges of our daily life, we should be thriving and evolving as conscious citizens. It is most necessary to recognize the soul, as you did in your book, because it is the essence and the key to health. Unfortunately, the nature of medical care has taken a turn towards each practitioner focusing on specific areas of health, moving us further away from an integrated or holistic approach to caring for ourselves and for others. So in today's episode of Healing From Within, you and I will share ideas that were known by ancient scientists like Plato and Socrates, who stated that a physical life is the search of the soul for remembering its true life force and its oneness to universal energy and higher consciousness. So by separating the dual nature of our being, we have in modern times created dysfunction and disease. So let's begin, Catherine, by please telling us something about your early beginnings and your beginning interest in soul life and its connection to healing.
Well, I'll make this as brief as possible because it is sort of a progression of my own evolution. When I was 9 years old, my father had an accident that left him medically disabled. And as a 9-year-old, you know, you don't really know all of the aspects of what's going to change. You just know life is changing. And, you know, I really watched him and my mom and the rest of the family really shift and change and really, you know, lots of different things kind of just happened to fall apart in many ways. My mother was, you know, she really had not worked since, since they had gotten married, you know, I don't even know how many years prior. And so it was really interesting because, again, I've always been an observer of life, and I've always watched how people handle things. Well, fast forward to high school. You know, when I was in high school, I realized very quickly when I took an honor psychology class that that was the right fit for me, which was lucky because I know a lot of people don't automatically know what they're supposed to do or what they need to do. Fast forward from there, and what I learned in graduate school was that it started to really come together for me, the really the mixture of all of the health aspects. At the same time that I was doing my master's program, I was also working at a student health promotion department of the same university, and I was learning a wellness model at the time. And, you know, what I find so interesting and ironic is that the counseling psychology program I was in didn't teach anything about wellness. It just taught about mental illness.
That is funny because instead of focusing on what we need to do to be healthy, it focused on the symptoms and disease, which are only, you know, coming from our inner soul.
Right. Absolutely. And what was fascinating about that for me was that I automatically started integrating wellness models into the work that I did. It just made sense. Mm-hmm. Now, even though my future colleagues that were going to school at the same time weren't getting the same information, it just automatically started happening for me. And then, you know, in retrospect, looking back and looking at my dad's life, my mom's life, everybody's life that really was affected by my father's health issues, you know, it just started coming together. So then I was a faculty member. After graduate school, I took a position as a faculty member and director of behavioral science at a family medicine department in a medical school. And once again, they don't teach wellness, they teach illness. And after realizing, again, that that was really not the best fit for me, I left, went into private practice, opened my own holistic health center, and that's really where my own model started to come together, because the models that were out there before that I was aware of had 5, 6, you know, components to them, but sitting with people, listening day in, day out to their human condition, I realized that there were some key things that were not part of those other models or were just gently touched on with the other models. And so what I did was I came up with what I call the soul health model, which is really what this book is about.
But it begins with the beautiful cover of your book, which shows an ancient archetype, the tree, as the model for creating a balanced life in harmony with one's soul. And I think you chose this symbol for a very specific reason, to describe this Wellness Institute's model of wellness, which you discovered in your early training, and then you embellished upon and brought it throughout your work and into other people's work too. So tell us about the cover and the tree.
Yeah, the cover, I'm a tree lover anyway, so to me it just totally made sense for me to use a tree as a model. And you're right, the tree has been used, you know, for so many different cultures or religions of how to really talk about life in general. And so the model is of a tree that has 10 key branches of what I call the human condition, that each and every one of us as humans has to learn how to manage or create balance in order for all of us to feel whole and healthy. And the soul part of that really comes from that inner essence of who we are in a way that it instructs us or influences us day in, day out, excuse me, for how to create wholeness or health within each and every one of those branches, but then as a whole tree. So it's that, to me, the soul is that inner knowledge, that inner wisdom. It's that essence of who we are that, again, all of us knows when something feels right or doesn't feel right. It's just that oftentimes we don't follow through with whatever it is that it instructs us to do. And so the whole model really is about learning to partner your soul with the experiences of your human condition, so that not only can you balance your life as fully as possible, but that you also evolve beyond the old stuff.
And the human condition, you describe it in the 10 components of health, the psychological, the physical, the social, the environmental, intellectual, and spiritual. And then you added 3 more later on to this tree and to the aspects of our life, which we're all dealing with, if not each day and every day. On specific days, different issues come up in these different areas. So the 3 more that were added were financial, interpersonal, and sexual health. And the last one, the missing branch you found for yourself at some point, was recreational health or fun and leisure. And these are all the aspects that we deal with on a day-to-day basis. And if even one of those branches is out of sync with the rest, there is dysfunction, and we need to repair and restore and renew ourselves. So the tree of life, you know, has long been the symbol in science and philosophy, but what is it really showing us? It's illustrating unity and a connection among all living things. And the tree, it grows down, grounding itself to the earth, and it reaches up to higher energy or the soul or spiritual energy that we need. So we really need this duality to come together, and the tree really shows that so well. I see the tree, I see the picture. It brings me up and it brings me grounded to the essence of the earth and to swirl around us and to bring us that feeling of comfort and balance and health in all areas of our life. And that's what we're talking about here, the whole picture, not just the pieces and parts. But you go on in the book to say many people are kept from feeling a complete sense of health and well-being. Something doesn't feel quite right in their world. And what do you think is a major reason for many people's dissatisfaction with their own health or life in general, for that matter?
You know, and that's to me the beauty of our souls and the beauty of us being individuals is that I don't think there is one key formula for all people. I think it's very unique to the actual person because I also believe that each one of us is basically brought here to learn particular lessons that fit whatever evolutional cycle that we need to reach. And so, you know, as a psychologist, a lot of people would say that, well, gosh, it's a psychological branch. Well, to me, again, being a health psychologist and actually being an interpersonal, health psychologist, meaning that, you know, I look at all of the different aspects, I think that's the beauty is that each and every one of us have a different combination of branches that needs work throughout their lives or at different times of their life.
And that's another thing people are afraid of. They're afraid of change. They would like things to stay the same. If they're having a good day, they'd like it to be like that. But that's not where our soul growth comes in, and that's not what we're here to do in a physical world. We're here to connect to everyone and to the challenges and to grow the integrity and power of our inner being to be courageous and loving and compassionate. And each of us will have so many opportunities to do that. Catherine, though many of us know it is the soul that inspires us, I rarely hear it talked about or even acknowledged.
Right.
And I talk about it, and I'm writing about it also in my new book. And I actually feel that until you know how important your soul energy is, you cannot be complete, nor can you manifest and create the best physical, emotional, or spiritual life. So it's really essential to know that this is an aspect of us. And I'm an energy practitioner, so I work with the chakras. And the chakras, just like the branches of your tree, relate to all these areas of our search for how to find a prosperous, creative, and happy, healthy life.
Right.
So tell us about the soul and your perception and description of the soul and perhaps spirituality.
Well, and it mirrors exactly what you just said. To me, the soul is the essence of who we are, and the essence of who we are is a very light and bright and radiant part of us. But it's the human condition part of us that dims that or weighs that down or even kind of blocks our awareness of it. And so it is essential. Just like you said a few minutes ago, it's essential for us to become as conscious as we possibly can of what our soul is there to do for us, which means it is there to guide us, as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, it's our GPS system. It's our internal wisdom. It's in our internal voice, whatever words seem to make sense for a person. But, you know, it's that connection that we all need to have in order to reach not only that balanced life, but also, you know, I talk a lot in the book about conscious evolution.
Yes.
And basically, the more balanced we are, the more we know we need to be balanced, the more we evolve. And if we're really here to work through whatever lessons that we're brought here, you know, to work through, we have to become conscious. And, you know, it's amazing to me how unconscious the world can be.
And another word for conscious is to awaken. To awaken to our own human potential and possibilities. A lot of people, you will see them sleepwalking. They just are so involved in their own internal chaos or confusion or fearful energies that they're not able to bring themselves out of it. And that's what we're helping people to understand. It's only the soul that will fully empower anyone to truly know the great gift life is, and who they are. So I want to read what you wrote in your description of the soul. Suffice it to say that the word soul in this book refers to our innermost essence or sense of knowing. It is the nucleus of all that we are, the core of our existence. It is the pinpoint of light within us that tells us something is wrong or right, whether we listen to the message or not. It is the gut instinct that tells us whether we are doing something that is helpful or damaging to our own way or another's well-being, whether or not we choose to act accordingly. It is also the tie that binds us to each and every soul, one that creates our universal community. Simply put, the soul is the key not only to our survival, but to our evolution as well. And to know your soul is to know your true health, regardless of the state of the body alone. As Ray Charles said, what is a soul? It's like electricity. We don't really know what it is, but it's a force that can light a room. And Catherine, I have to tell you, something very funny happened. Last night I turned the television on, and there was a movie about Ray Charles. I had worked on this 2 weeks ago, right? And when I saw that, I watched the movie. There was nothing on, and I watched it. And, you know, I saw how he suffered in his childhood traumas and losing his sight and poverty and his disability. And he fought with his soul because he had this great musical gift, but he was also very saddened by all the events in his life. And then he had a dream, and in the dream his mother was there, and she said to him quite simply, "You cannot be a cripple. I will not allow it." And after that, he conquered his drug addiction, and he went on for the next 40 years to become a beloved master in his field and truly free, because he knew his soul. And that's why I would imagine he wrote that. And how did it come to you?
I want to say about what he just said is, not only did he know his soul at that moment, he also let go of the human condition part of his life. So he moved beyond it. And that, to me, is that whole transcendence of what we all need to do, is recognize what's going on in our human condition that's really getting in the way of our soul's evolution. And so I do think that he came to that because of that, you know, his struggles. And, you know, awakening happens because we've been in the darkness for so long or so deeply.
He also had great love around him. He had a wife, he had children. He had a mother who, even though they had struggled, even in death, she came to him with such great love. And he knew there was more than this human time and place or condition. And he was able to access that inner wisdom and creative life from spirit and rise above the other issues, which is what we hope everybody can begin to do when they realize very often they're creating those outside issues from within their own fear, because there's only two emotions in this world, fear or love. And somehow there are variations on that. But the more we come to live in the state of a loving existence, the more our soul shines, the brighter our time here is, and the way we interact with others is that much better also. So, Catherine, how do we know when we are accessing our soul wisdom rather than relying on our ego, our mind, our emotions alone?
The first way that I talk to people about, whether it's a client or a workshop participant, is to really go down to those gut reactions that we have, because pretty much everybody, you know, a few people use the word soul, you know, freely, but most people know what a gut reaction is. Mm-hmm. And so we all know, I mean, every one of us probably knows that there have been times in our lives when we've had a gut reaction that we have not followed through on. And then we look back and go, gosh, I knew that, but I didn't do it, or I didn't say it, or I didn't follow through on that. So there's a sense of regret. So it's that gut reaction, I think, that is the closest voice to our soul, that it's there to get our attention. You know, we wouldn't have this gut-wrenching reaction to something unless there's something trying to guide us.
Mm-hmm.
And what we need to do is just learn to tap into that more, trust it more, and then act on it more.
Some people say that the solar plexus or gut is the seat of the soul, where a great deal of spiritual information comes in. So when you get that drop in your stomach, when you get that anxiety in your stomach, when you're sitting with people having dinner and your stomach starts to hurt or you can't eat your food, that is information coming in to help you make choices, to place you where you need to be, and to do what you were born to do. And what you were born to do really has nothing else to do with what anyone expects of you. And I think many of the people who have been on this show and who have written books and are exploring these subjects had difficulties as in their childhood. As you said, you saw something very challenging for a young girl to observe. And I'm sure you got a great deal of sensitive reactions physically in your body at the time you observed a lot of that, as I did, as an intuitive and as sort of empathic feeling other people's pain or emotions. I always did that, but I always thought it was my own. But of course, I was picking up other people's expressions. And a lot of us have worked through and discovered through our own challenges how to grow stronger and to let the soul truly speak with a vibrance and a light that nothing can diminish from outside. So I would say, you also say in the book that Cicero said, this goes along with this, diseases of the soul are more numerous than those of the body. However, our soul's house, which is the human body, is the primary gauge for our soul's afflictions. But a lot of people don't want to understand that they might have an illness connected to other issues besides just a germ, a virus, an injury, an accident, because I believe nothing is random and all these things are happening according to the plan for the soul. So in every illness, in every accident, whatever we're struggling with or challenged by, there's much more going on than meets the eye. So I guess, would you say that's what he meant by that?
I would. And in fact, he was a wise man to say that early on, because now we've got so many authors out there that have done such a wonderful job of almost creating encyclopedias of the kinds of illnesses that go with certain kinds of emotional or spiritual kinds of concerns.
Oh, so, yes. Even Louise Hay's book, she has a chart, You Can Heal Your Life, and every one of the illnesses is connected to a spiritual issue or thought or pattern that needs to be changed. Yeah.
I had a client in my office today, and she comes in. She said, oh, I'm not feeling very good. I have she said she thought it was an abscessed tooth. And I said, well, let me just look this up and read it for you. And any tooth problems has to do something with grinding your teeth over a decision or trying to figure something out or having indecisiveness about something. And I asked her if that fit for her. And she said, well, no, not really. Well, as we talked, she had had a situation with her husband come up that basically really was about decision. It was decision on how to handle it. It was decision on what to speak up about. And so by the end of the session, she was seeing that how intensely her body was reacting to this, you know, very important conversation that they had. And so, yeah, our bodies are barometers. Yeah. And we just, you know, if all the healthcare practitioners out there realized that, I think there would be a lot less medication provided.
Yes.
There would be a lot less of the sort of synthetic forms of healing and much more of the natural forms of healing come back.
I agree with you. And going along with this thought, you also wrote in the book, George Bernard Shaw wrote, we are all dependent on one another, every soul of us on earth. Since humans are meant to be with people, no matter how independent we think we are, relationships with others in their lives, in our lives actually, have a direct impact on our soul health. And you go on to say 90% of people go for therapy because of relationship issues. So, Catherine, please tell us, because this is really important, how the company we keep has a lot to do with how we feel at the soul level.
Well, this is actually a really important part of the work I do because, you know, like I said, up to 90% at least of the folks that come in are for relational kinds of concerns, maybe even 100% if I really looked at it.
Probably.
But, you know, and we talk a lot about, or we talked a lot earlier about the fact that, you know, we've got lessons that we're here to learn. Well, who better to learn it from than the people that we involve in our lives or come into contact with in our lives? And, you know, there are teachers out there with each and every person or animal that we come into contact with. So to me, it makes complete sense that we are challenged by the others in our lives because it does force us to really become conscious and look at ourselves and hopefully, again, grow beyond whatever it is that we're being challenged with. So, you know, they are key players. Each and every person that we come into contact with are key players in our evolution, and we just have to learn how to interpret the situations.
Yeah, so we're going to see, and we do see on a daily basis, that there's people who seem to carry a bright light, and when they walk into the room, we feel good, and they share with us, and they cooperate with us. And then there are others who come in, and those whose own lives may be diminished, they may not be well, they may come from homes where they weren't loved enough, they leave you feeling negative, depleted, and drained. You know, this goes along with the concept of entrainment. I was just reading about this in another book I'm going to be doing a show on. And as we know, you and I know, everything vibrates, and similar vibrations are stronger together. But when we're with a vibration that is completely out of sync with ours, someone's going to have an issue.
Right.
Want to say something about that?
Yeah, and again, I would say that those vibration, those differences in vibrations, again, are part of the lesson, is learning to recognize that sometimes there are fits and sometimes there are not good fits.
Yes.
So those vibrational levels, you know, there are people out there with lower vibrations that basically don't know how to raise theirs, but also don't like the fact that others are higher than theirs. So
right.
they, in whatever way, they manipulate situations, they stir things up, they whatever it is.
But sometimes, Catherine, the very clever ones know to attach themselves to someone who has a higher vibration because they want to improve themselves, and they can possibly start to come closer to the other's vibration. But the stronger person, this is the issue, the stronger person must be careful not to feel guilty or sorrowful for the other person who's vibrating at a lower level and try to lose their own sense of well-being and peace. So this is
right.
What the stronger person, yes, you can help the others, but you can never allow yourself to become their victim, because they're a victim already, and they only know how to bring you to that type of energy. So
right.
This is the point. We can help each other, but we do have to know when we have to find other influences to raise our own vibration and keep ourselves healthy. I would say that's important.
Yeah, and make sure that we are aware enough to know when someone is really draining us rather than helping us to lift up. Absolutely.
You know, you go on to talk about people with their finances and a society where there's many questions about money, and that such studies have shown that people who are rich sometimes lose empathy and compassion for others. So it's not really anything that we have from the outside world that's going to help us develop our soul inside. I often tell clients that my life wouldn't really change very much if I won the lottery, because I'm living according to what my destiny and life plan are and what brings me joy and vibrating at my own soul level. So when they're doing work that they're happy with, and when they see their own personal growth or another person that they're interacting with growing, then they're living the best soul and physical life possible. And your book shows all this. So I want to thank you, Dr. Catherine T. Kelly, for joining me on Healing From Within and sharing your insights into the key 10 components of the whole health model for the needs of the soul and ultimately our most radiant state of health and life. For more information and to purchase Soul Health, go to CatherineTKelly.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, Catherine has shown us how she chose the Tree of Life, a symbol that has been used throughout time and in various spiritual contexts to illustrate unity and connection among all living things. And in the case of our soul health, each aspect or branch of our development belongs entirely to each of us. Catherine reaffirms that this is your life, your soul, your health, your path and your journey. And as you work with your inner sense, you may learn a sense of integrity and more about your soul and energy and essence, and you will improve all aspects of your physical world and spiritual world. A quote that Catherine shares embodies what all energy healers and spiritual seekers know, and the reason for this show. It is within our personal power to find peace, joy, and love, regardless of the challenges that may come our way. In her book, Catherine gave a quote from Paul Kurtz, who says, "The meaning of life is not to be discovered only after death in some hidden, mysterious realm. On the contrary, it can be found by eating the succulent fruit of the tree of life and by living in the here and now as fully and creatively as we can." I am your host, Cheryl Glick, and I invite you to listen to leaders in the fields of human development, higher consciousness, science, the healing professions, spirituality, and religion, share their views for the changes being created even now as we speak, as we move forward in our personal and soul evolution and reconnect to our divine state as spiritual beings having a physical life. Go to my website, CherylGlick.com. Thank you.